Okay, we're on. It's moving. Yud Beis Mabez. We are in the middle of Yud Beis Mabez. And the Gemara just brought up the sugya of Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. So we'll see what we have time for today. There are a number of Shas sugyas that come up today. It's not the usual Yivamis type of daf. There are some Yivamis sugyas, but especially on Amud Beis, there are some larger issues that come up. Some come up today, some up tomorrow. In Isser Chalal Isser, Los Eskodidu. Other sugyas come up along the way. So let's get started. So we're in the middle of one yesterday. The Gemara started off with a new topic, bringing in the sugya of Shalosh Nashim Mishamshas B'moch. Three women that could use some type of birth control in order to prevent themselves from getting pregnant. And the Gemara spoke about Ketana Muberes Ominika, a nursing woman, a pregnant woman, and a Ketana. The Gemara assumed that these three women, if they become pregnant, it is Sakaras Nefashis, is dangerous. So therefore, they can use some type of moch. There is a machlok, and we mentioned yesterday where else where this the svara of the chachamim is used. In that the Rameyer says that they're allowed to use these protections, while the chachamim say no. Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over people, the simple people that just act b'derech tamim. So therefore, you don't have to take precautions. So we discussed yesterday, you know, what kind of svara is that? You know, of course, if there's a chashash sakana, you have to be choshesh. So we discussed the Binyan Sion and the Achiezer and the Shomer Pesoyim Balacha. We discussed Rav Moshe with his tshuvos where he quotes Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. But there is though on the daf machlok here between Rashi and Tosfos, actually a double machlokas. Rashi, against other Rishonim, seems to say that the moch is put in before Tashmish. That's what it said. That's what the Pashtus understanding of Rashi is in Dibur Maskel Mishamshos. Mutaris Lasis moch b'makam Tashmish k'shehe Mishamshos k'dei shelo yisabru. Sounds like that it's done beforehand. Many other Rishonim, including Rabbeinu Tam, argues. Rabbeinu Tam on the fourth skinny line in Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam Omer, Dilefnei Tashmish Vaday Asur Litein Shamoch. Dein Derech Tashmish Mekach. Not allowed to put something there, because that wouldn't be normal Derech Tashmish if something's there beforehand. But it's talking about something afterwards. Afterwards, Alamon Desenes Moch, Achar Tashmish Einir Lesser. Afterwards, it's talking about. That's one Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, which hinges partially upon the next line of Rabbeinu Tam. And that is the Isser of Hashchasa Zera. Isser of Hashchasa Zera of being Ma'abed, causing Zera to be a loss. Hashchasa Zera Levatala, which is an Isser Daraisa, discussed at the beginning of the second parak in Maseches Nida. So here the discussion is, what about women? Men are mitzuv and hashchasa zera. Are women mitzuv and hashchasa zera? Is hashchasa zera purely because of the lost potential of pruruvu, which women are not obligated in pruruvu, so therefore they wouldn't be as much as problematic? Or is it, no, there's a separate reason. I forgot to bring in the Ritva, the big fat Ritvas. He quotes in the bottom five reasons in the Rishonim why even women are mitzuva, are asuros, in the Isra of Hashchasa Zera. That's what Tosfos refers to on top. Aval shar nashim asur mishum Hashchasa Zera, aval dvib dlo mifkada apurivu. Even though they're not mitzuva apurivu, they also have an Isra of Hashchasa Zera. Is it just lifnei iver? If lifnei iver of the men, because if they're mashkas the Zera of the men, so then they're going to cause the men to violate the Isra of Hashchasa Zera? Or is there something more? So the number of Rishonim give other reasons, yeah. Is it at least besilad varavera? Lifneiver is a daraisa. So yeah, is only a drabanan. So at least a lifneiver is even daraisa. But there are other reasons. Almost all Rishonim assume that the women are asuros in hashchasa zera as well. We discussed a few weeks ago sirus. Sirus, the isser of removing the organs of the reproductive organs of a male or a female. So that there's a difference between men and women. But this isser of hashchasa zera, the Rishonim discuss that women are mitzuve, but that also relates to this discussion whether the protection was before the bia or after the bia. There's also another machlokas also that might be connected, and that is interesting word in Rashi on the third line. Mishamshus b'moch mutaros lasei smoch makam tashmish. So Rameyer's idea is that it's mutter for them. Tosfos says, what do you mean mutaros? Chayavos. Sakana. So Rameyer says, sakana? You're not mutar. You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save somebody's life on Shabbos. What do you mean allowed? You have to. It's a mitzvah. Chayavos. So that's what Tosfos as well discusses, the issue of chayavos and not just mishamsos. Okay, but this is a huge sugya. We touched on some of the pieces. So now let's go back to why the Gemara brings us in. So the Gemara again says, three women are mishamshes b'moch. Rabbi Meir Shita is because we are worried that they might become pregnant, and that might be dangerous to them. So now we're in the middle of the Amud. From the fact that the Gemara says, Rameir Shita is that they might become pregnant and they might die. Mashma, that there are some Ketanos that get pregnant that don't die. Because what does it say? It says that become pregnant and might die. So maybe there's some that become pregnant and don't die. So what do you see from this Machlokas? That you can have a Ketana that has a baby. You can have a ketana that has a baby, because the chashash is that maybe they'll die. Maybe they won't die. So it's possible to have a ketana that has a baby. If that's true, that's against the line in our Mishnah. Why? Because the end of our Mishnah, if you remember, on Daf Beis said, Imkain, well, first of all, I asked the question, Imkain matzinu chamoso mima enes, vitznan iata yachalomar b'chamoso, ve'im chamoso ve'im chamav shenimsu islandis o shemianu. The Gemara, the Mishnah said at the end of the Mishnah that if miyun takes place, remember yesterday we discussed miyun a lot. Miyun, if a woman who is involved in a derabbanan marriage, because her mother and brothers married her off, her father's not alive anymore. If they marry her off and she's in this kiddushin derabbanan, she's allowed to do miyun and walk out of the marriage. The Mishnah says if she did that, if the woman who is an erva to the potential yavam walks out of the marriage before the marriage is over, so then the other co-wives are not considered saros l'erva, because there is no more erva when the second marriage started. But the Mishnah ends off by saying that some women, it's impossible for them to do miyun. So obviously that halach is not applying to them. One of them was Chamoso. Chamoso, his mother-in-law. What the Mishnah say? Why is that impossible? Because it's possible for a mother-in-law to have the daughter that's going to do miyun. Because, you know, there's no hechi tipsy. Once is a Chamoso, it's going to be a gdola. So says the Mara, but here you see that Chamoso doesn't have to be a gdola. Even a ketana is able to have a child and live. So says the Gemara, two answers. Answer number one. Ema, what Rameir really means is Shemet Tisaber Vitamus. It's not maybe she'll become pregnant and then maybe she'll die. Maybe she'll become pregnant. Once she becomes pregnant, the Ketana will vadai die. That's Rameir Shita. But it's not like maybe that's the only chash of pregnancy. But once pregnancy occurs, then there's a vados. To Amar Rabbi Bar Levi, because Rabbi Levi says, Gvul Yeshla, there are three different levels. Kodem Azman Azeh, before the woman is 11, the girl is 11 years old, Einam Azamaras Kolikar. Then it's impossible to become pregnant at all. That's why she doesn't have to use any protection, according to Rabbi Meir, because the pregnancy is impossible. Toch hazman hazeh, hi mesa v'ubara mes. Within this time period, 11 years old until she's 12 years old, she's still a ktana, she might become pregnant. If she does become pregnant, then she will surely die, says the Gemara. La'ach hazman hazeh, hi chai v'ubara chaya. Once she's 12, everything is fine. So really, there is no raya from this machlokas, Rameir and the Chachamim, that a ktana can have a baby, because we interpret that if she has a baby, she will surely die. So the Mishnah is saved. Ask the Gemara finishing up Eini, but this answer doesn't work, because we have a Brisa version, yeah?
How does the Chacham say,
if she becomes pregnant, she's vade going to die. If she becomes pregnant, but maybe she won't become pregnant. That was the Kasha of the Rishonim yesterday. The Kasha of the Rishonim yesterday was, isn't this a Sakana? Isn't this a Chashash? That was.
So we said yesterday, well, it's a suffix.
What's a suffix? It's a suffix whether it'll occur. It's something whether she'll become pregnant. We didn't establish yesterday before what the suffix actually is. Just says, right, Minashamayim Yirachamu, Mishamayim Kedarka V'Olechas. The Ritva says, whatever the chash is, chash she'll become pregnant and maybe die, or chash she might become pregnant and surely die. Either way, you have the same kasha. You have the same kasha of the Rishonim, they are bothered. So he came up with this chiddush that you see, and maybe it's something unique about the childbirth we mentioned from the Sharem Shein Balacha, but it's a chiddushita. That chachamim is a chiddushita. You have to say something unique here. We know even svek sveka by Sagaris Tafashas were machmir, as long as there's some latest asafik.
What exactly is the mima enes? Is the mother-in-law of the
yavam? The mima enes is the...
She's 11 years old.
Right. She is the mother-in-law. So the question is, can you have a case of that? Can you have a case?
She could become pregnant. How's that possible?
What?
I'm not saying at 11.
But that Rashi explains maybe that he is mekadesh the daughter during this time. Right. Look at Rashi Matsinu. Go to Yolda Bekanusa Betoch Hazman Amar Lamala. She has a baby during this time period. B'shas Yud Beishenis Abra V'lomesa. She shouldn't die. V'kidesh Achiv Esbita. And a man's brother is Makadesh this little girl, accepts Kiddushin from this little girl, Venimsa Zos Chamoso Kitana, Ru'uyalama Einad Yubes Shana. So it is possible. Eini, ask the Gemara though, is this really true that it is impossible for this woman, this ketana, to have a baby, but we have a brisa that says mefurish adds in one line to the Mishnah's case that rejects what we just suggested. But Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, I ata yochal lomar bechamosu ve'im chamosu ve'im chamav shirim su'ay lanasa shemiyanu. That's the same line as the Mishnah. You can't say that they had miyun, but look at the two words that the brisa adds. Shekfar yaladu. Because they already had a baby. Rashi explains, it doesn't say shekfar gadlu, they already became gdolos. It says they already had a baby, which sounds like even though they're ketanos, they already had a baby. So we're back to the question. Our machlokas, Remeir the Chachamim, assumes that a woman, or even that version of the Mishnah, assumes that a woman can have a baby when she's a ketana. Why did our Mishnah assume that she can't have a baby? Because our Mishnah says, our Mishnah doesn't say that b'feirish, but what does our Mishnah say? That you cannot have a case of a mother-in-law who's going to do miyun, because you can't have a mother-in-law who's a ketana. It answers the Gemara, you're right. Ela la'olam shema tesaber v'shema tamus. Really, there's only a chash that she's going to die. She might not die. Velakasha, ha? Aye, so why does our Mishnah say that miyun would be impossible? A different reason. Amar Rav Safra, banim harei heim kisimanim. Big shas topic. Children are like simanim. We know for to become a gadol or a gdola, you need shanim v'simanim. Years, generally, and simanim, and physical signs of maturity. Says the Gemara of Safra, children, having a child takes the place of simanim, can take the place of physical maturity, and therefore, what is it important for us? Because that's why there's no miyun. Not because that she can't have a child. It's impossible. She can. But once she has a child, she's considered a gdola. And that's why miyun will not be possible. Tosfos holds. Rashi holds this is even if she's a real ketana. Even if she's a real ketana, this principle of banim kisimanim works. The Rambam, a little difficult how the Rambam reads the Gemara, the Rambam holds that, oh no, banim harehin kisimanim is only when she's 12 years old. Look at the Rambam in Hilchas Ishos, Perek Beis. He says, once she's 12 years old, so then it could work. But the Pashas of the Gemara, Rashi says here, Banim Harein Kisimanim is even if she is a Ketana. Let's finish off and then we'll talk about it more. V'izda Amre, Banim Adivim Isimanim. And some say not only are Banim Kisimanim, Banim are even better than Simanim. What does that mean? Better? L'may Nafgemina, Da'afila L'Reb Yehuda, Da'amar Achiyar B'Hashachar, B'Banim Moda. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that normally miyun can be done at sheyar b'hashachar. What does that mean? Even if a woman gets shtei sairus, two hairs to prove her physical maturity, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not enough. She could still do miyun at sheyar b'hashachar until there's a large amount of hair. But banim moda, says Rabbi Yehuda, though, he would, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda would admit by banim. Yehuda would admit by banim. Period. Okay, so that's the difference between banim, hareim kisimanim, or adifim kisimanim. There is a discussion in the Achronim, a hakira that comes up in a number of sugyas, and that's the hakira known as simin or siba. When we have something, when we have a certain idea that we need, is that a reflection that something happened, or is that causing the halacha that we need? Is it a simin, a reflection, or a siba, a causing? So the same thing here about banim harehim kisimanim. When a woman has children and she's a ktana, is that a reflection that she's already a gdola and it takes the place of physical maturity? Or is it that the banim themselves are what make her a gdola? Is that a reflection of anything else? They're the siba. Are they the simin, literally here, simanim? Or the Siba, that's a machlokas achronim. The Maharit in Etshuva writes, She'in shanim v'asimanim ikir hagadlis. She'in v'psukim lo nizkru shanim v'simanim. Right, it doesn't say it anywhere. El gdola v'ktana. El shemasru lanu chachamim simanim lahafkin bin gdola l'ktana. These are simanim. They're reflections that she is a gdola. While the Shidim Kupasas and Barba Vassar says, no, simanim are etzim hagadlis. This is what's causing her to be a gdola. So it's a machlokas within banim harim ki simanim. How are they viewed? Just Derech Agav, by the way, remember I saw once, why is it that a ketana becomes a gdola at 12 while a katan, a boy, becomes a gadol at 13? Why does a woman... So you might say, just naturally, you know, girls become mature earlier than boys. And then yes, why is that? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu do that? So remember someone once pointed out that because Chava ate from the tree first. Chava ate from the tree first, that's why girls get bat mitzvah at 12 and boys are, you know, that maybe that's the reason for the maturation of girls at a younger age than boys. But that is a chakira. What's the connection? Eitz hadas. Eitz hadas gets chachma. So that is a bachlokes, the Chakira of the Achronim, Simin or Siba in Shani. Yeah. Oh, good question. So there's another machlokas here between Tosfos and the Rambam. Second to bottom Tosfos. Harehim kisimanim. Pirish mishas ha'ibur. From the moment that she becomes pregnant. That's the simen. Look in the Rambam. The Rambam says, beferish leida. It's having the children. Having the children. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus Beis Tes, habashe yolda achar shteimes reshana. Those are the two sheets of the Rambam. It's only after 12 and also she yolda. So that works. Reb Chaim on that Rambam is a long piece, but he has a number of questions. One of them is trying to understand the sheet of the Rambam that requires leida. Does he argue fundamentally on Tosfos that pregnancy is nothing? Pregnancy is nothing. You need leida. Or no, even the Rambam would agree pregnancy is something, but you don't know that it's a viable pregnancy until the children are born and live. But even the Rambam might agree fundamentally that it's ibor. But that is a machlokas, Rash, Tosfos, and the Rambam, whether it's pregnancy or it's leida. What's the nafkamina here? In terms of the woman could still do miyun. It's a nafkamina. If she has a child when she is a ketana, we're saying that now miyun is no longer possible. Not no longer allowed because we treat her as a gedola. According to Rashi, even if she's 10 years old, we treat her as a gedola. Period. So that's all. Banim harim kiv simanim or adivim simanim. Again, a large topic in terms of the issue of godless. Rav Zvid, next Amud. Rav Zvid Amar. Rav Zvid has a little different formulation, slightly different formulation. Ein banim below simanim. It's not that banim are considered simanim. This really sounds like the simon approach that we just mentioned. If there are children, it must be that she really hatched a Cyrus. Ein banim below simanim. There must be simanim here. It's not that simon, not like banim are good enough, like the first answer. Banim mean that there must have been simanim. Ask this the Gemara v'nivdok, so why don't you check? Chashin shemenashur. No, we're worried that maybe she had and they fell off. Hani chalamanda amar choshishin. Fine, this is a good according to the mandaber that says we're choshish, they fell off. Elamanda amar ain choshishin ma'ikilameimar. But according to the one that says we're not worried, they fell off. So why here don't you check? No, even if you say usually you're not choshish, they fell off, but here we are choshish because of the pregnancy and leida that she went through. So therefore, you would, we're choshish, so checking won't help. Checking won't help, and therefore, we cannot check according to Rav Zvid. We mentioned this in the past, there is something called chazaka deraba. Not here, Mimsechus Nidah comes up, and that is, child becomes bar or bat mitzvah. So do we allow them to take part in mitzvos? Do we allow a bar mitzvah boy to be the chazan? Do we allow a bar mitzvah boy to lein? So that's chazaka derabba. Chazaka derabba means that we don't check bizman hazeh. Generally, we don't check. If a boy comes up more with a boy, could a boy be part of a mizumin, 13 years old? You're not sure, because usually we said, for a godless, you need shanim visimanim. You need years and physical maturity. So you don't know. So there's a chazaka derabba. Rabba says, mistama, there's a halachic assumption, if there are years, you could assume there are shtei Cyrus. So do we hold like chazaka derabba? So we hold like chazaka derabba by derabbanans, and not by daoraisas. So that's why we allow a bar mitzvah boy to lein. Because leining kriyas haTorah is a mitzvah midrabbanan. We allow a bar mitzvah boy even to, you know, be part of a minyan. Because the minyan, tefillah b'tzibur, is a mitzvah derabanan. Okay, the Rush says you need tefillah b'tzibur d'oraisa for Parsha Zachar. Okay, that's an exception. But generally we won't allow one to be mitzvah for Parsha Zachar. But, happened this year in our shul, but if you have a bar mitzvah boy, Parsha Zachar, we don't allow him in many places to lay maftir. Because that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Mitzvah d'oraisa, we don't allow him, we don't rely on chazaka d'rabba by d'oraisa. So that's why he can maybe get the aliyah, because getting the aliyah, that's a chumrah, gabi chumrah, that's part of Parsha Zachar. So he'll get the aliyah, which is d'rabbanan, making the brachas on leining, but the leining itself of Parsha Zachar, that's an example of a d'oraisa, so we would not rely on chazaka d'rabba. I've heard some poskim say, why don't you just have him go to a pediatrician and go check? But the problem with that is, why are most poskim against that? Because there's a downside. If you go to the doctor and he does not have simanim, then you can't even let him daven with a minyan. Because then for sure, the whole reason that you're allowed to let him assume that he's a gadol for derabbanan is because you assume he has simanim. But if you know for sure he doesn't, then he can't be part of a minyan, and it makes his life much worse. So that's why it's better, most poskim say, that we don't check, and we don't rely on him by, so he can lay in the whole parsha, just won't lay in parsha zachar. That's happened this year. As what age? That's a good question. It's a question in the postgame as well. At what age does he change to a daraisa? Or do we say that he has to have physical... Right, you can have somebody who's 18 years old who doesn't have any facial hair. So you still don't know on the outside.
Facial hair is a reflection of shtei Cyrus?
So they say, right, Zaki and Elyon, Zaki and Tachton. But that, for sure, yeah, that is... at least for a male. Female, there are other physical signs.
Making
kiddush for somebody else, making kiddush is a mitzvah daraisa. Right, so lechora making kiddush as well. Kiddush al hayayin, the specific words that we say, there are some poskim that say you're yotzei kiddush daraisa in davening. Right, Rabbi Kiva Eger says you say kishavas to somebody after davening. You're yotzei kiddush. But lechora, we try not to rely on that. But you're right, in a finami. It's another example that a woman can be motzi a man meikar adin, even though the Mishnah Berurah quotes zila milsa, but a ktana or a katan should not be motzi. Okay, two dots. Finishing up discussing the last few lines of our Mishnah back on that base. Ketzad potos tsaros ayin v'chulu. So how does it? What's the case of tsaros? Or according to Rashi, this next lines are going on the v'chulu. The tsaros, the co-wives. Remember the case of the co-wives. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are married. Levi's wife dies and falls to Shimon, but another of Levi's wife happens to be Shimon's daughter. So therefore, they're both pater. What happens if now the co-wife, the other wife of Levi, not the erva to Shimon, goes and marries somebody else, with the other brother with another wife? So there too, also the status of tsaris erva continues. Minani mili, how do you know this? Amar Yehuda to Amar Kra, the pasuk we had earlier on Daf Gimel, Litzror. HaTorah Ribsa Tzaros Harbe. The double lashon of not just Latzur, but Litzror, teaches us that all the co-wives, for as many times over, are still going to be Asur. Ravashi Amar Svarahi. Ravashi says, what do you need a pasuk for? It's a Svara. Tzara, my time Asira, Tzibamakam Erva Kaima. Why is in step one, Tzaros Erva, why is she Asur? Because she is Bamakam Erva. So too, Tzara Tzara Nami Bamakam Erva Kaima. The secondary tsar is also tsaris erva. Each tsara constantly takes the place of the erva, and therefore every step of the way is tsaris erva. So therefore, you're always back to step one. Says Ravashi, you don't need a pasuk. The Ritva says that even the first opinion knows this, but it just quotes an asmachta. It's not really a machlokas here, it just quotes an asmachta. This also relates to the discussion that we had earlier on Daf Ches, and that is discussion of the Brisker Rav, of Rabbi Chanan, the tsaris erva. How much does she get the status of the erva? Totally, she steps into the shoes of the erva. Once the erva is usher, this Sara is just like that daughter. Or is it not? So this Gemara seems to say that she's really stepping into the shoes. Because every Gemara, every woman, is a Saras erva. Even if it's a Saras erva, the first Saras erva is considered erva. So the next woman, again, is considered Saras erva. Yeah. Yes, Ravashi Svara wasn't there. Rabbi Kivager's kasha on Daf Gimel. Why do you need a pasuk as well? Right, in a chinami. So that's what this. That's why the Ritva kind of says that the pasuk itself is kind of an asmachta. Everybody would agree with this svar. You might say there are some chilukim in certain regards. She's considered tsaras erva, but not totally. But you're right. There are gemaras that seem to take issue on this. There's even a Rambam. Right, the Rambam says, "Where's the Rambam in Vav Tesvav?" Where's the Rambam? The Rambam in Vav Tezvav, when he talks about Saras Erva in Yibum, the Rambam says, where are we? Vav Tezvav, after he says, Saras are pater at sofa olam, this is the language of the Rambam. Shekol isha she'ein lo aleha zika be'isser eishes ach omedes la'olam. Every woman forever and ever, every co-wife of a co-wife of a co-wife is constantly in the isser of eishes ach. Salacious Ach, meaning they've stepped into the shoes of that first woman, and just like the first woman did not have a Makkah Mitzvah, so the Isra Beishas Ach is there, so too these women, as many times over, marriages as it goes. Okay, two dots. Okay, stepping into the Tsaras Erva. Stepping into the Tsaras Erva. Okay. Right, not stepping into the erva because the erva has no zika. Stepping into the tsaras erva. Okay, two dots. Ketzad emesu hein v'chulu. What did the Mishnah say at the end? Remember the case. The Mishnah said that if the erva in the Mishnah, there are five co-wives. If the wife that is usher to me, her marriage dissolved before the husband died. Let's say the husband divorced her, or miyun, or something, and then the husband died, then all the other women are mutter to me. The only time that it is usher to me is if at the time of the nefila, the time that my brother died, so that's when they're still married. Says the Gemara, as we thought, the afilu kanaisilu basof girish. It sounds like from our Mishnah that even if there is a time in history where all these co-wives are married at the same time as he's married to this erva, still, if the woman, if that erva dies before the brother dies, still there's not going to be a problem, and they're going to be allowed to marry the brother. V'raminu, but what's the contrast? It seems to be a Mishnah later on that seems to say the opposite. L'kama daf lamed. The Mishnah says there, Gimel achim shnayim mehem nesuyim bis achios ve'echanasi nachris. Here we go again. Three brothers, two are married to sisters, one's married to somebody else. Girish echon mi bali achios es ishto. One of the, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Okay, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben and Shimon are married to sisters. Reuben divorces his wife, who's the sister. Reuben divorced his wife, umeis hanasui nachris, and then Levi died. Levi died, so now Levi's wife, ghost, who's not related to anybody, falls to Zika, to Reuben and Shimon. V'kantza magarish, Reuben marries her. So Reuben marries Levi's wife, v'meis, and now Reuben dies. So now Reuben has a bunch of wives. Reuben had previously divorced his wife that had been a sister to Shimon's wife. So what does the Mishnah say? Zui Sha'amru, Shemesu and Iskashu Sarosein Mutaros. This is what's referred to in our Mishnah, that if death or divorce occurred before the brother died, so then the Saros, the co-wives, are not Usur. Says the Gemara though, Taima, why does that Mishnah give such a specific case that Reuben first divorced his wife, who was the sister, and then got married to the next ones? Is that Dafka? Does it have to be that case? Time of the Girish v'achar kines. It sounds like from that Mishnah that only if Reuben first divorced his wife and then married other women, do we then say that when Reuben himself dies, those other women are allowed to marry Reuben's brother? Aval kines v'achar girish lo. But maybe you should be medayik from that Mishnah that let's say Reuben was married to three women at the same time, one of them being usur to Reuben's brother, and then Reuben dies. Right, I'm sorry, and then Reuven divorced one of the wives, and then he dies, it would still be usur and considered saras erva, because these co-wives at one time were married to Reuven. At the same time, they overlapped. It sounds like from that later Mishnah there could be no overlap, period. Even if the death happens, or the divorce happens before Reuven dies, it sounds like there can't be any overlap. So says the Gemara, two answers. Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah Tavro. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, number one, yeah, break it. Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu. You're right, it's a Machlokas Tanoim. Machlokas Tanoim. What's the Machlokas about? Again, what if Reuven is married? Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. And then Reuven divorces his wife, that's the sister, and then Reuven dies? Do we say that the co-wives are usur forever? Because at one time they were married with an erva, so they're always usur. Or do we say, that's what that Mishnah says later on, or do we say what our Mishnah holds, that no, if he divorced the erva before he himself died, then you go by the moment that the Zika started, that the connection started, so it's a machlokes. Haitana savar misa mapeles. Our Mishnah holds that the misa, the death of the brother, is what creates the Zika. And therefore, if at that moment there is no erva anymore, then everybody's mutter. The high Tana sovereign, he's suana rishonim apilim. And the other Tana holds, no, it's the first marriage that causes the Zika. And therefore, you have to take into account everything that happened in that first marriage. This language of the Gemara, by the way, is a very important graphic language in terms of question that we mentioned before, how much is the Yavam his own man? How much is he stepping into the shoes of his brother? So what is this machlokes? Is it that the first marriage creates the Zika? Nisun Rishonim, which sounds like he's stepping into his brother's marriage. Or is it the Misa? So that would be independent. So again, this language of the Gemara also is very important for that question.
How are they
Tsaros
if they're not married at the same time?
How are they Tsaros if they're... So according to that Mishnah, which says they can never be married at the same time, they're co-wives in just that they were married to the same man at different times. That's why the Mishnah... But you're right, it wouldn't really be co-wives overlapping. So that's one answer. Then it's a machlokas tanoim. Rava amar la'olam chatanahu v'zu bein sarach lor mezuktani. No, really, they're in agreement. And you're right, that Mishnah later on says a case, but don't think that that's the only case that that Mishnah holds of. It's the Mishnah, our Mishnah, the first case is a chiddush, and the other case is less of a chiddush. Two dots. Last line of our Mishnah said, v'kol sheyichol lama'enu. Our Mishnah said, the last line, if you remember, if a woman could have done Miyun, meaning Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, and she could have done Miyun, but she didn't, and her husband died. So she didn't do Miyun, so then, says the Mishnah, you remember the last line, Sarasa Choleset Vomis Yabemis. She does Chalitza. She does Chalitza, and not Yibam. So says the Gemara, and we had three lines of the following Gemara yesterday. Vitamayin Hashav Vitis Yabem. Why doesn't she do Yibam now? Again, she didn't do Yibam before her husband died. Why doesn't she do Yibam? Why doesn't she do Miyun now, as we alluded to yesterday, to her Yavam, and then she can marry whoever she wants to, right? Because Miyun wipes out everything on a Daraisa level. So why doesn't she do Miyun now? Lema Masayla Raboshia. Let's say this supports Raboshia, who we're going to have later. Dama Raboshia, Mamanis Lama Maro, Baina Mamanis Lizikaso. Should it support Raboshia, who says that Miyun only can uproot a mimer? Here, mimer doesn't mean mimer like we had yesterday. Mimer is a general term that means a derabanan marriage. Yesterday we said mimer specifically means the kiddushin that was enacted in the case of Yibam. But here it doesn't mean that. Here it's talking about her marriage itself is called mimer. So Rav Oshia has a shita that says miyun can only uproot a derabanan marriage. But if there is a zika that is created, at least conceptually by the Torah, miyun doesn't do anything to that. So from the fact that our Mishnah does not suggest that this little girl do miyun to her yavam, her husband died already, for the fact that she can't do miyun to her yavam, does that support Rav Oshia that she can't do miyun to her yavam and it would not be effective? She can only do yibam to her original baal, but she can't do yibam to her yavam. Shall we say our Mishnah supports that?
In this case, the yavam is her father,
correct. Wouldn't it be a difference? Well, we'll see that. That's going to be part of the answer. Says the Gemara, lo, really mi d'oraisa, or in theory, this is all the Rabbanim, we're talking about Miyun. Really, step one, conceptually, she should be able to do Miyun. Miyun, there's no right to Rav Oshia. Really, Miyun could be done to break even a Zika d'Rabbanan. But in this case, Saras Erva Shaini. But here, mi d'Rabbanan were gozer, that Miyun should not work. Ditani, as we had yesterday, and again, somebody asked me a question about this yesterday, so maybe today will be clearer about these three lines. Ditani, Yerim Bar Yecheskel. Mianabe Ba'al Muteres La'aviv. Let's say a girl is married to a man. Once, on a Drabana level, she's married, she does Miyun, says the Gemara, she is allowed to marry that man's father. Aviv, her father-in-law. If she does miyun to her husband, as we said, that wipes out the entire marriage, so then she can now marry her past father-in-law, Muteres La'aviv. Miyana b'yavam, but if she didn't do miyun, and she waited till her husband died, so now could she be do miyun to her father-in-law, and then marry her father-in-law? Miyana b'yavam, asur la'aviv. That we won't allow on a derabanan level. Why? Really, it should work, because Miyun takes everything away. The whole marriage is a derabanan marriage. Miyun uproots everything. Alma mishas nefila niriska kalasa. What's the problem? Because her husband died. So to the world, it was a perfect marriage. And now she's going to marry her father-in-law? She was married to her husband. Now she's going to marry her father? It doesn't look nice. It doesn't look right. But she was, at the moment that her husband died, the marriage was complete and full and perfect. She never uprooted that marriage. So it looks like she's marrying her father-in-law. So that's why we're not going to allow it on a derabanan level, even though miyun theoretically should work. So just like Rami Bar Yecheskel said that there, so too here, hachanami mishas defila niris kitzares bito, so too here in our Mishnah. If no miyun was done before the husband died, we're not going to allow miyun to be done, and therefore, or yibum, that's what we discussed yesterday, so that's why we say chalitza should be done, and that's it. Period. Miyun is done whenever she wants. No, once she becomes 12, she can't do Miyun anymore. Maybe right before she becomes 12. Again, that's the topic, the 13th parak in the Seches Yevamos, that's where the Miyun sugyas are. So that's what we're going to talk about, parak Beishamai. I think she has a number of opportunities. She has to have das. She's 2 years old, right? But if she gets old enough to have somewhat of das, she's allowed to walk out of the marriage. There's a star Miyun, but you don't need a get. That's the ikker. You don't need a get. Baruch Hashem, we've been zochet to get to the second mission in Maseches Yevamos. Here we go.
Sheish. All right, we've referred to this Mishnah, the first part. And then, as I said, Amud Beis here is brings up some other big topics. Sheish arayos chamurus me'elu. There are six arayos that are more chamur than the previous 15. The Yerushalmi already notes here, it doesn't really mean more chamur. They're all krisus. Those are krisus, these are krisus. What do you mean chamur? It's chamur in the sense that it's impossible for them to marry your brother. These six women can never marry your brother. It's going to be all your paternal relatives. So your paternal relatives are going to be the same relatives to you and to your paternal brother. Yibam was only by a paternal brother. So that's why it's impossible for these six women to ever marry your brother. So they're never going to be a co-wife that's going to fall to you, to Yibam. So all of their co-wives are always going to be mutter. So that's what Gemara says. Shesha rois chamer esme'elu mipnishin esuos lacherim. Because they only can marry other people, it's impossible for them to marry your brother. Tsaros and mutaros, their tsaros are going to be mutter. Meaning what? So Rashi says, if they marry somebody else, they can't marry your brother. So let's say this erva of yours marries Plony, somebody who's not related to you, and Plony has some other wives, and your erva dies, you can marry those co-wives. As we said back all the way in the Daf Gimel, this whole Tzaras Erva issue is only when there's a Makam Mitzvah, when there's a Yibam context. But if they marry a Nachri meaning somebody who's not related to you, so then there wouldn't be any problem. The Rambam doesn't give that case. He says, what if your brother married her Be'isser? If you married a Be'isser, that's the Rambam here, the Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam says, what if the brother married a Be'isser? So that's not a marriage. If your brother tries to marry his mother or his father's sister or any of the other Tzaras, they're not married. They can scream all day, we're married, they're not married. So therefore, the co-wives aren't considered co-wives of an erva. So those are two cases the Mishnah could be talking about. Rashi, that she married somebody else, or the Rambam, that is talking about Ba'avera. Who are these six women? Imo, his mother, Ve'eshes Aviv, his father's wife, Achos Aviv, Me'achosa, Va'achos Aviv, his father's sister, Achosa Me'aviv, his paternal sister, Ve'eshes Achi Aviv, his father's brother's wife, Ve'eshes Achiv Me'aviv. And his paternal brother's wife. All these women are usher to you, usher to your brother, so Yibam will never come up with them. Beishamai, here we go. Beishamai matzir netzoros lachan abisal osrin. Beishamai rejects everything we've said for 15 blot. Beishamai says there's no such thing as the tsaros, the co-wives becoming usher. According to Beishamai, tsaros erva does not exist, the co-wives do Yibam or chalitza. The whole thing doesn't hold, says Beis Shammai. Ubeisil Osrim, Beisil Aser. Beisil says no. Of course, it's the co-wives are Aser to do Yibam or Chalitza. Continuing, Chotzu. So let's say these co-wives did Chalitza. Is it meaningful at all? That's a machlokes. Beis Shammai post the minakahuna. We know that a woman who has Chalitza done to her cannot marry a Kohen anymore. So according to Beis Shammai, this Chalitza to the co-wives is significant. Because you need it, so therefore she's going to become pasul kahuna. Ubeisila machshir, Beisila is going to say no. Beisila is machshir because chalitza to these women are meaningless because these women don't need chalitza. So that's why chalitza is not going to have any effect on them. Nisyabmu, what if these co-wives did yibum? So then again, Beisham and Mashir, Beisham is machshir the children and the women, right, to marry Cohen. Why? Because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do yibum. Ubeisila poslin and Beisila apostles. No, you're not allowed to do yibum here. It says the Gemara, and we had these three lines we referred to in our Chumrish here a couple of months ago. Even though there was such extreme machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, serious machlokas, right? We're talking about an issue of mamzerus here. Issue of mamzerus. Lo nimnu Beis Shammai milisa nashim mi Beis Hillel, v'lo mi Beis Hillel mi Beis Shammai. Still, they did not stay away from each other. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel families still intermarried, even though they had such serious machlokas, meaning they kept it in the Gemara. They kept it in the Gemara, they didn't go against the other people's personalities. Rashi here adds, which we're going to have later on, we'll talk about whether everybody holds of this, Rashi says, they used to at least tell each other who was at Tsaros. It wasn't just the potluck, hoping for the best. Right? Says the Gemara, Lefisha hayimodiyim lahem, osan habos min atzaros uparshim. Beis Hillel would say, you know, is this woman from Tzara's Erva? Beis Shammai would say, no. Okay, fine. So it wasn't like magic. But they still, you know, in our day and age, you would say, like, anything that smacks is laying out of a hold of, I'm staying away from you. But still, that's the godless of this Maimar, of the Mishnah, of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. This is even a makar for a halacha in the Ramah. The Ramah writes in Yerodea, in Kuf Yutes. The Ramah writes in Yerodea, in Kuf Yutes. Misha Noheg, Let's say I hold something as Asur. I hold, the context here is about Pasakum. Right, what if I hold, I only eat Pas Yisrael. Right, I don't eat, I do, but let's say I don't eat Entenmann's, and right, and I don't eat, and I'm eating at somebody's house, and they eat Pasakum. Oh, mikach chumra shehechmer al atzmo, says the Ramah, mutter le'echol im acherim shenoagin bo heter. You're allowed to eat with somebody who's knowing a heter, as long as they know that you are knowing an isser. Why? Devade lo ya'achiluhu davar shehu knowing bo isser. As long as they're a shomer Torah mitzvos, they will not give you something that's usher to you. In parentheses, Hagos Mordechai, Perakama Diavamas. Right? That's R, based on this idea, B'Sham Beis Hillel. You know, the assumption is that if you know, we know, we could have differences, and that's fine, and we can still get along very well. Gemara, finishing the Mishnah, Kol Ataris Vatmeos Shahayu Elam Atarim Elam Atamin. Same kind of idea. Many serious arguments about Tuma and Tara. According to Meshama and Beis Hillel, Lonimnu Os and Taras Elo Gabe Elo. They still lend things to each other. They still have a lot of interconnections. So therefore, that's the most that we learn from there. Amar Rav Shimon Pasi. My time at the Beis Shammai. What's the mucker for Beis Shammai? Why does he reject this whole idea of Saras Erva? Two makoros. Number one is going to be a makar. Number two is going to be a svara. Number one, dichsiv lo siya eishes hamets achuz leishzar. Right, talking about yibam. The eishes hamets, literally, this means that the wife is allowed to marry out. This is called an isra of yivama lashuk. She's not allowed to marry anybody else before she does yibam or chalitza. But Beis Shammai darshins chutza is a description of the woman. There's an outside woman. An outside woman meaning somebody not related, not in erva. To the Yavam, Michal de Ikapanimus. So it's mashma that there is a inner woman. That's the Erva. The Omarachwana, what does the Torah say about this outside woman who's not related? Lo siya, she shouldn't be to the Shuk, meaning she still has to do Yibam Merchalitza. That's the drasha that he has about this Chutza woman who is a non related woman, that Saras Erva is not allowed to marry out. She still needs Yibam Merchalitza. Ubeis Hillel. What about Litzrar? He doesn't die right. He has to use that for something else. He has to use Litzrar for something else. Litzrar is even the Tzara, Tzara. Ubeis Hillel. Mibalei Kedrav Yehuda Marav. Beis Hillel uses this pasuk to teach you the din of Rav Yehuda Marav. Important din, which we'll come back to a number of times. Dam Rav Yehuda Marav. Minayin she'ein kedushin tovsin b'yavama. Even though, let's say, a man tries to marry a yavama. Before Yivam or Chalitz is done. An outside man. Somebody's not related tries to marry this yavama. So, if he lives with her, what kind of avera that is that? That's not an Isser Krisus, that's an Isser Lav. Obviously, it's still an Avera. But look, usually the rule is, if you try to marry your sister, that's not a marriage. Kedishin are not Tofsin. If you try to marry Chai Ve'lavin, if a man marries a Mamzeres, if a Kohen marries a Grusha, they're married. They're living in sin, but they're married. So Yevam HaLashuk is also a Chai Ve'Krisus. The marriage should be effective. That's the Chiddush of this Pasuk. The Chiddush is, even though Yevam HaLashuk is Chai Ve'lavin, Kedushin are not Tovsin. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, that's what Beis Hillel does with this Pasuk. Lo siya eishes hamets achuz leishzar, lo siya ba havaya. This woman is not allowed to marry somebody else, not just she's not allowed to marry, she can't. Lo tiya ba havaya. Beis Shammai says back, miksiv lachutz, chutzaksiv. It doesn't say lachutz, which would tell me that this Pasuk is teaching me something about marrying out. It's chutzaksiv, it's a description. So it's describing the woman, a chutza woman. That's why I dash and what I do. Beis Hillel says no. What, you don't have the Lamed? You don't need the Lamed. It's a rule that we all know from Rashi and Sefer Bereishis. Kivan dechsiv chutza, kaman dechsiv lachutz dami. If it says chutza, it's as if it says lachutz. The Tanya Reb Nechemya Omer, what does Reb Nechemya say? Kol tevet shesuicha lamed b'tchilasa, hita lehen akasav hei basofa. Whenever you need a lamed at the beginning of a word, the hey at the end of a word, kid substitute. V'tan dever b'yishmal, kagon. Like what? Elim, elima. Elima means two elim. Machanayim, machanayimah. Mitzrayim, Mitzrayimah. Divlasayimah. Yerushalayimah. Yerushalayimah. Right in Yonah Dioma. Yom Yerushalayim. Midbara. So that is all. Whenever you have a hey at the end of the word, lamed at the beginning of a word takes the place. That's why Beis Hillel says, I don't have a problem. Beis Shammai, who Beis Shammai, what is Rav Yehuda Maravi Nolahu? How does Beis Shammai know the halacha that kiddushin are not tofsin with chai v'lavin? Mi le'ish zar nafka. He learns that from the pasuk, from the rest of the pasuk, mi le'ish zar, meaning he only focuses on the word hachutza. to teach his previous din. But Lishzar teaches me the other din as well. Ubeisil nami tepek luhumi Lishzar. According to Beisil, why doesn't he just learn it from there too? So inachinami, you're right, he learns it from there. So chutzah lamali, so then we're back to the question, what does he do with chutzah? If he just learns his halacha from Lishzar, what does he do with the word chutzah? To go against Beishamai. Lerabos ha'arusa. Oh, also another yisod. To teach me that yibum even applies if my brother only had erisin to this woman. No, you don't need nisuin to create yibum. Even if my brother just had erisin to this woman, still yibum is required. V'idach, how does Beishamai know that? Michutza hachutza, from the extra hay. V'idach, chutza hachutza lo mashmahu. The other one, Beisilo does not darshan that extra letter. Period. That's all. Approach number one in Beishamai, he's based on a pasuk. That's why he says saras erva is mutter. Second, Rava Amar, second reason for Beishamai. Tamayo de Beishamai, de ein iser chalal iser. Huge sugya, which we don't have time to get into, but we should know it's a huge sugya. Ein iser chalal iser. Once something is already usser, generally the rule is you can't make it usser again, unless it's more inclusive, unless there's something new about the second iser. But once something is already usser, you can't make it more usser to you. And therefore the Gemara explains what Peshame is talking about. So how does it work here? Tena hecha de nasa meis viachach nasa chai lo asi iser achos isha v'chayla iser eishas ach. I understand, says the Gemara, this works if the brother who died got married first. Let's take names. Reuben and Shimon. So Reuben and Shimon are married to sisters. That's why this is going to be a case of Erva and Saras Erva. Reuben gets married first. Reuben, who's going to die, gets married first. Then it works out. Why? Because Reuben's wife to Shimon first is Aser because of Eishes Ach. Then when Shimon gets married, now there's another Iser that tries to go into effect called Achos Ishto, but that doesn't work. It doesn't kick in because she's already Aser Mishum Eishes Ach. Then says the Gemara, I understand, Beishamai, ain't Iser Chalal Iser. This woman is already only Eishes Ach. Another Iser can't be effective on her. So therefore, this woman is not considered an Erva Lagabe her co-wives. So therefore, there's no Iser for those co-wives because this woman is only considered Eishes Ach. Obviously, you can't marry her. You can't marry her. She is Achos Ishto. That's what Tosa says. You have this Achos Ishto Iser in the background. That if ever Eishes Ach becomes Mutter, boom! Yeah, this Isser of Achos Ishto that goes into effect. But, at least in terms of the other women, there is no other Isser of Achos Ishto. Ella says the Gemara, Nasa Chai V'Achar Nasa Meis, but if the live brother got married first, Achos Isha Kadim. So then what happened? If Shimon got married first, so then the other woman is first Aser Mishum Achos Isha. Then it becomes Eishes Ach. So then, what's Beishamai talking about then? Because then the Erva status comes first. So what do you mean, Ein Isser Chalal Isser? So answers the Gemara, no, we misunderstood. Kivan de lo asi iser eishes ach v'chayla iser achos isha havi lo tzaris erva shlobo maka mitzvah. Bisharya. If achos isha starts first, so then this woman was never really married to your brother in your eyes. Achos isha can never fall to you to even. The zika never gets off the ground. And therefore, it's as if that marriage never existed. So these co-wives are 100% mutter, according to Beishamai. So that's Ein Isser Chalal Isser, a second idea in Beishamai. Exactly. According to this svara, Beishamai does not reject the svara of tsaras erva being aser. It's just that in this case, it's not a tsaras erva. It was just that you were never, your brother, in your halachic eyes, was never married to this erva, and therefore the tsaras are mutter. You're right. If you could come up with a case there are real tsaras, so then Beishamai might agree. Okay, we'll stop here. So there's a lot to talk about Ein Isser Chalal Isser, but we're not going to have time. But what comes up tomorrow's amud is the sugi in shas of lo sisko dedu. So we're going to talk all about wearing tefillin in shul on Chol HaMoed or not wearing tefillin. We're going to get into Tcheles a little bit. We're going to get into other issues, what the reason for Lo Sisko to do is. What about Nusach HaTfilah? If you're in a svard shul, are you allowed to say Nikadesh out loud? Is that a problem? Or vice versa? Right, other inyanim that come up in Lo Sisko to do. Okay, today's shia was sponsored by the Rothstein family of Teaneck, New Jersey, for Refuah Shleima, Shein Dol Bas Breindel.